Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight it's a pleasure to do part two of our two-part series about Joe Perillo's music. And Joe Perillo is with me in the studio here in beautiful downtown Exeter, Rhode Island. Welcome back, Joe.
It's good to be back. Thank you, Mike.
Nice to have you for a very unusual Conducting Conversations. We haven't done very many two-part shows. You can count them on one hand after 15 years. So you must be a special guy.
I guess so.
You are a special guy. And Joe Perillo is a pianist, a Steinway artist, a composer, and as a matter of fact, all the music we did in last week's show was written by Joe, and all the music you're going to hear tonight was written by Joe. So it's a pretty amazing accomplishment so far in his life, where he's written a ton of music, continues to perform in various places, and we're going to catch up with a little bit about that. But if you missed his background last week and you want to catch up on it, go to classical959.com and download the podcast from last week, and you can hear about his early years when he was playing in the sandbox or whatever. Oh, no, that's coming up later.
It's coming up, yes.
All right. But we'll tell you about that as it happens. But Joe Perillo is a teacher as well as a pianist. And one of the things I find interesting with someone that's written as much music as Joe has, my question is always, how?
Yeah. Well, there's been so many different points in my life with all these different inspirations and different things I've been through, and studying with some of the people I studied with and the workshops I did down in New York with BMI. I did workshops there.
At the record album company.
Yep. So I did, and then the people I studying with Dave Holland, studying with Mike Gibbs, studying with Charlie Banakis, studying with just such an array of teachers, and then the people also that I studied with, like Rand Blake at New England Conservatory, and just it's inspired me to continue to write. And also some of them were assignments, you know, mm-hmm. for me, and then I took off in different directions writing. So that got me to do something in my own creative world that helped me in my teaching world, I think.
But so many songs, so many albums. I talked last week, we mentioned it, so about 12 albums, and all these songs created by you. It always amazes me, as someone who's never written a song or mm-hmm. never even thought about it. I'm sure people ask you this all the time, but what, you know, I hear the word inspiration, I hear different forms or times of your life, but there's got to be something in your head that's different than everybody else's.
Yeah, it might be a left brain, right brain kind of thing. I'm not really sure. But, I mean, there's definitely a need to create. Mm-hmm. And then also the part about it that's collaboration with the musicians that I've worked with. They've always triggered certain ideas and things for me as well. And so that sets me off on trying different things. And as loving improvisation, I just sit down at the piano and I play something, and then I need to make the commitment to actually write it down so other people will play it. And also see how they speak that piece back to me is really something that I like to do, and hear that response from others. Some of the tunes I've recorded over and over again on these different albums, because there's so many different versions of them. And right. That's been really nice too. So that's what keeps it going for me. I think it's like I could relate it to a little bit for a poet who's writing poetry all the time, or someone who's writing novels all the time. They you get in. It's a bit of an addiction, I think, when you do it, to hear back what I'm trying to say. And most of these, obviously all these works are instrumental, so it's what I can express in a nonverbal sort of way,
right,
and let people interpret it their own way.
But you can recall, you write a song and you play it, and you can play it again.
Right.
And again, and again, if you wanted to.
Yes.
Versus some artists that kind of almost scat, if you will, where they just play a song and they never play it again.
Right.
Improv type of thing.
Yeah.
And that's not so much what you do, but, you know, more or less you're creating something that is lasting and you're able to go back to it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's neat about the recording life, and I think there are musicians that throughout history that, well, once we had recording, that wouldn't even record because they didn't want to stop their music in time.
Right,
and that's what happens here. As I go back and listen now, sometimes say, "Yep, no, I would have done that differently if I could do it over again." But you get past that place, and you get to a point where I need to put this down, even if it's just for archive, and then move so I can move on and do some other writing. And it's from a lot of listening to a lot of music over the years too. I'll hear something, an album that just totally inspires me to, I want to write something like that, you know, and that. So I'm always trying to trigger my inspiration in many different ways, you know. What is that, when I go somewhere, what does that visual sound like to me?
Right.
And
right,
that kind of thing. So,
you know, coming up on your 500th show here on WCRI, which is heard Friday nights, by the way, at on WCRI, Jazz After Dinner. I don't recall, maybe you did over all those shows, but I have the privilege of producing them for you, and I don't recall you doing shows about you.
No. So maybe I'll do that for the 500th one.
Well, there you go.
But you've been playing a lot of the stuff for me too, so that's great.
Yeah.
But I haven't featured my music.
Because we used to get that question all the time. People would hear that Joe Perillo was on our station. They say, "Oh, can't wait to hear his music." And then you would be playing Chick Corea, or you'd be playing Lionel Hampton, or you'd be, you know, whomever.
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of your inspiration comes from. But it's time
absolutely.
For Joe Perillo night.
Okay.
All right. Let's look at that. So. We're going to listen to some more music. Last week, we took the first half, so to speak, of his recording career and listened to songs from those albums. And now we're going to pick it up with a song called Morning in the Garden. Tell us about this one.
Well, Morning in the Garden was a trio album that I wanted to do. I've always wanted to do trio albums, and I had different tunes from friends of mine that had written or I collaborated with. And then I had a wonderful trio together with Nick Cudahy on bass and Mike Connors on drums, and I wanted to make sure they were younger than me, young musicians definitely going out to play many different, I'm sure their careers have done very well, and I wanted to capture them while I had the opportunity. So I did this album, Morning in the Garden, and you know, just I was looking at pictures of gardens, you know, English gardens, all different kinds of gardens, and I also was at the English gardens in Munich. And that was part of the inspiration for me, too, because those gardens were, and everyone was so nice. I mean, I just met so many people that thank God they all spoke English to me and helped me out. But that was a real wonderful time for me. So this was just Morning in the Garden. So it's just, it's a bookends of Morning in the Garden, an improvised piece, and then Morning in the Garden, improvised at the end of this album, called Morning in the Garden.
Thank you.
Okay, Joe, we're going to switch albums now and go to one entitled Sandbox. Right. And you have a song called One Day in January. I'm guessing that's probably that you wrote it in January.
Yes, I did. It was right in the middle
how
of January.
I am?
I know, you really are. It's just absolutely amazing. Yeah, and that album is called Sandbox, and it's with Christine Harrington on cello and myself on piano.
So just two? So
just the two of us. We did this album in 2001, if I remember correctly. And One Day in January was actually the tune that made it to the Grammy voting nomination list, is really to clarify the Grammy nomination thing there, and for Best Instrumental Composition.
Excellent.
So that was pretty cool.
Listen. And then we'll take a short break and be back with more of Joe Perillo.
Thank you.
The music of Joe Perillo of Jazz After Dinner fame on WCRI, and actually much more famous than just doing the Jazz After Dinner show, Grammy-nominated artist, Steinway artist, all-around good guy, and extremely good-looking, my wife says. I don't know if you knew that, Joe.
I didn't know that.
Well, see? Yeah. See, okay. There you go. So you can add that to your resume now.
I guess so. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Because she knows. And
put it in quotes.
Joe can be heard not only on WCRI, but around almost everywhere during normal times. But during the pandemic, we do have a little spot called the Music Mansion in Providence where you can catch Joe playing some jazz with friends, always the same friends or different friends?
No, different friends at different times. I do have a trio that I usually use, so with Steve Scopp on bass and Brendan Burns on drums. But we've even been mixing, I've been mixing that up now too, and with a guest artist usually in front of the trio.
Right.
And I've been doing that.
Very small, intimate atmosphere. If you've never been to the Music Mansion, normally sits just about 100 people or just a little under that. But during the pandemic, we've got it down to around 30 people there. So check out musicmansion.org or go to Joe's Facebook page to find out when he's going to be there and check that out. Love to have you there. And Joe,
yes.
let's get right back to the music. We played a cut from Sandbox to close the first segment, and now we are going back to the Sandbox for the title cut, right?
Right, yeah, for the title cut.
And this is still the same two players.
Right, myself on piano and Christine Harrington on cello.
All right, any inspiration for Sandbox? Wasn't written in January.
Well, no, but this one was thinking of the two of us kind of just playing in a sandbox, you know, and playing music. And that's where it came from. It was real kind of a... just a childlike moment for me, I guess, when I wrote the tune.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now we're going to leave the sandbox and go to an album called Segments, which is very interesting. I remember the first time I heard it, I had to listen to a couple of the cuts a couple times and get them into my head a little bit. They're a little bit different than some of the more traditional ones, right?
Right. Yeah, they are. I mean, I had a string section in there. Ann Danis and Paul Zeitlin on violin. I had Heather Wallace was on viola. Christine Harrington was on cello. And Susan Thomas on flute. Jane Murray on oboe. And Catherine Gagnon on French horn. But then the basic trio was myself on piano, Brian Rizzuto on bass, Eric Platts on drums. And I was lucky to have Jay Hogard on vibraphone. Just a wonderful musician. I was glad he said yes when I asked him to do it.
Well, that's quite a group. That's a lot of people.
Yeah,
we mentioned last week in the show about how, you know, a small circle of people where you know somebody who knows somebody who's playing in this group. And is that the same Catherine Gagnon that is the director of the Warwick Symphony Orchestra?
Yes, one and the same. Well, that's her. Yeah.
All right. So she's been on the show many times. Mm-hmm. And so there's always somebody who knows somebody, right?
There certainly is. It is Rhode Island.
All right. So this is called Crying Moon. Anything else you want to tell us about that?
Well, that title came from just sitting and looking at full moons at different times, and the song kept coming in pieces, mm-hmm. you know, and just sitting and contemplating during those quiet times. Oh. So, and some sad times, I think, throughout, you know.
Okay.
Some happy times, but quite a few sad times, and that's why it was Crying Moon for me.
All right, we'll give that a listen and take a short break and be back with more of Joe Perillo.
Thank you.
We are back on the last segment of Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Joe Perillo. And Joe, we're going to try to squeeze as much music in as possible. Just before the break, we talked about the CD segments. And here's another cut from that. Tell us about this one.
Okay, this is a tune called Aura. And the way it was put together had all the string players and the flute and oboe and French horn. They played all their parts. And after I recorded with Brian Rizzuto and Eric Platts and Jay Hogard, we recorded our parts improvised in the studio. And then from there, I wrote string parts for it and the oboe and the flute. So it was really interesting how it all came together. I was really happy about how it came together. And it felt like just this aura of sound. So that was the title, and that's how it came together.
Wow. So. And what kind of time period are we talking about? Is this something that happens over a period of a week or a day or 10 days or 2 years?
over the course of about a month.
Okay.
We recorded the entire album with the quartet featuring Jay Hogard. And then I took that and I said, I want to orchestrate this one. Hmm. So I took it and orchestrated. We played it. We kept it pretty tight. But Jay got to improvise and really play off of the melodies a lot, and it turned out to me. I love it. I love listening to it, okay. how it came together.
Let's give a listen to Aura.
Thank you.
Well, Joe, it's been an amazing 2 weeks, two shows that we've been able to put together here with your music, and I know we barely scratched the surface. So as an audience member, if you'd like to find out more about Joe Perillo, go to his Facebook page and check him out and listen on Friday nights to Jazz After Dinner right here on WCRI. And if you happen to miss it, you're out on a Friday night and you want to listen to the podcast, all of Joe's shows, all 500 of them, are podcast on the WCRI website, which is classical959.com. Joe, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me. It's been
fun.
We
have one more piece of music, which is your latest, right? Tell us about this one.
Right. Okay. The album is Turn Around Back. Is the title of the album, and it's the title cut on the latest album that Christine Harrington and I did, Christine Harrington on cello and myself on piano. And that's about all I can say about that. That's the album, and it's actually came out almost a year ago now, and we're going to start promoting it more now that things are opening up again.
All right. Once again, catch Joe Perillo here on Friday night's Jazz After Dinner. Joe, once again, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right, my turn.
Okay.
Have a great weekend. Peace. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.